Welcome to Geeks of the Square Table, episode 81, coming at you live from Madison, Tennessee. That's Nashville's bald spot, if you didn't know where that is. Being recorded live in Comic City, too. Well, I figure, like, a bald spot, no matter how healthy it is, nobody really wants to point it out.
No, it's true, though, because you got Nashville and you got Hendersonville, and then there's just Madison somewhere in there.
Now, also, depending on who you ask, it could also be considered the taint. So,
well, the taint's down around bottom.
We're in north of Tennessee, so we could say bald spot.
Like I said, dependent upon who you ask.
And depending on how bald you really are, Clarksville is the real prime bald spot of Tennessee.
Yeah, because unfortunately the thing with Clarksville is that they have this unwritten rule because of the military base. You can't build anything over three stories. That's the reason why everything in Clarksville is so damn wide.
I mean, there's also just nothing in Clarksville.
Well, yeah, but it's like 20 miles wide almost.
It's pretty much just Kentucky.
Clarksville is kind of just like that stray hair over there.
It was I think we're grain.
All right, so anyways.
So,
on the comic books.
TV, we were just talking about the Daredevil show, Netflix. Now, I haven't seen it, but, I've just been kind of trying
kinda
to let
wait
the
it
hype
out. Yeah.
die down a little bit, you
take,
know.
Deflate it a little bit.
Yeah, because, the first thing I hear is, 5 minutes after midnight is Gomer going, "It's only 5 minutes in, and it's already my favorite new show. And it's
But he was also complaining about it. It's like, people, quit spoiling it for me. Quit telling me all this stuff. I don't want to know.
About a show like
watch
this,
it.
Just in general, now with any TV show, if you like it and you think other people like it, don't get on Facebook.
Yeah.
Until you've watched it, don't get on Facebook. Get on Twitter. To stay away from the internet if you want to enjoy a show without somebody ruining it.
Now, however,
and I just hate to go into a show and people tell me it's wonderful and it just be okay.
Yeah,
because then that makes it bad.
Now, however, with this Daredevil show, the hype is warranted because it is good.
Here's what I'll say about Daredevil without hyping it: it's tasteful.
Yes,
it's good for a new audience who's never touched Daredevil before. And it's great for somebody who is a longtime Daredevil fan.
Yeah.
All while maintaining within the cinematic universe. It does it in a way that it's not super blatant that, oh yes, this is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But it's done in a way like, oh yeah, that
now the
makes
show
sense.
Is so good that like it
like
could
I said, I'm straying away from those words. I enjoy it.
Hype, no spoilers. That's a very good way to put it.
I'm not spoiling it or anything, but what I was going to say was that it's done so well that it could have been done on HBO or Starz, and it would have been just as
good
because it's that type of.
We've seen it with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Disney. They're going to put a set production value across all the properties.
And they want to give you a little bit of everything. Like, I joked about it after watching Daredevil. I could never watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again, or Arrow, or Flash, because I can see the caliber of what we can get out of a superhero show now. But what it really is Marvel and Disney are working to give everybody something to watch.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you still have the same production value, but obviously these Netflix shows are going to have the higher ratings.
Yeah, it's going to be
it's not going to be the PG-13 rated stuff.
It will be the R-rated, the premium channel of violence.
And I mean, I'll say, what they're doing with Daredevil, it's pretty much, I feel like, their response to Arrow.
Yeah.
Because it's first off, you take a character that's, I mean, take it out of the comics, that can be a very realistic character.
Yeah.
Where it's mainly his, he's good at fighting. Sure, he's blind. It's taking the, blind thing and, enhance hearing a bit further than actually what it'd be. It's more blind swordsman style, where
exactly.
This guy can fight really well. But it's more of a realistic storyline than, say, if they brought in just, anyone other than,
Here's what I'll say.
America.
It doesn't get campy and unnecessary in places it could have.
True. Very, very true.
Which is what I'm going to be honest, I anticipated it because
of
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is not per se a bad show. It's a sci-fi show.
Yeah.
It can get campy a little bit.
It's the Marvel Universe.
It's the Marvel Universe. It could be. It is. Yeah. It's the Marvel Torchwood. It can go places.
No, I expected it to be a little campy because of the Daredevil movie. I expected it a little bit.
No one's ever going to make that mistake twice.
Yeah, we've
seen Ben Affleck ruin something.
I actually liked the Daredevil movie.
Well, I like the director's cut.
No relation to the comics or anything. Right. I enjoyed it as a good popcorn movie.
Yeah. It was still good.
You know, for its time, now that we've had the Dark Knight Rises series, that really raised the bar on superheroes.
True. Very, very true.
And of course, part of the Daredevil problem is they followed it up with Elektra.
Yes, which was
just
terrible.
And that movie was barely watchable at best.
I liked it back then.
Elektra's a hard
Elektra's
a hard sell as a character. She's this Greek ninja trained assassin, and then you get a white woman to play her. It's a really though, like it's a tough sell. And I know Jennifer Garner is coming off Alias, which was very popular at the
time.
And
coming off the Daredevil movie, they wanted to keep the same Elektra character person playing it.
No, and I understand that. And Elektra was okay in the Daredevil film. If you kill her at the end of the film and then you resurrect her immediately in the fashion in which they did it at the beginning of the Elektra film, you're going to be spending the whole movie trying to sell somebody else another idea, and it was just too hard of a sell. To me.
It didn't really have. It seemed it just didn't have a focus to it. You know?
It was too much. It suffers from the same problem that Amazing Spider-Man 2 did.
It was just all over the place.
It's just all over the place. They're trying to cram a lot of things at once to give everybody everything.
Right. Like, we're going to take this character and fix all this stuff we changed.
Yes. And then we're going to add all this other stuff so it could spin out of this movie, and we're just going to keep this going.
You see,
and it's just too much at once.
But you see, that's why I like the Daredevil show, is because they're not trying to cram everything into one episode. They stretch it out over, like, two or three episodes.
That's
different.
And
they have, main storyline.
For a long time, the only way you can really accurately do comics is in a series.
True.
Yeah. Because that's how it's made. It's a serial, pretty much. One comic book over a month, every month, or every 2 weeks you get another comic.
Yeah.
That's how it's
supposed to be.
Yeah, which is, I mean, probably why they started out with the Batman TV show
way back when.
Yeah, like, because that makes more sense. It's a serial. And, sure, I mean, that was an odd representation of Batman, but
even pre-TV, Superman had serials.
Yeah, on the radio.
The Phantom, had serials in the
Shadow.
Movies.
Shadow.
Captain America.
So there's a long history of serials, the way to go.
Yeah, but now they've just gone, like, through the roof in popularity.
Right. Well, the other thing, too, is the movies now have done a good job, as opposed to the older movies crammed several stories in one movie.
Yeah.
They wanted to give you lots.
Yeah, and they also didn't expect they were going to do another one.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, the modern day Marvel movies definitely
because
like
they're single
elongated episodes.
Yeah. Instead of trying to tell a lot of story. Let's dim it down to, this is a popular four-issue arc. We can cram four issues into a two-hour movie, as opposed to cramming 2 years' worth of story into one two-hour film. That's kind of where the Marvel has changed the game, and where the Dark Knight trilogy changed the game, too, is let's, instead of trying to tell several stories at once, let's tell one cohesive story that we can dim down to 2 hours.
Well, and also they picked a good story to tell.
Exactly.
Because that wasn't like in the middle. That's just like Frank Miller, I've got a Batman story. I'm writing it.
Yes.
It's a separate sideline.
Yes.
Not, not New 52 mixed in this other crap.
Not an origin story, a new villain, this and that, love interest. They're not trying to anymore cram as many things as they can to get everybody to watch this movie. They're trying to tell a single story per movie.
Yeah, and what they take from those movies, even if they do take a couple different ideas and don't just straight up take the arc, they do it in a tasteful way where it's like, okay, like, you know, in Dark Knight Rises, there's, like, you know, it's pretty, it's kind of Nightfall.
Yeah, it's pretty much just the Bane story, with a little hint of other stories.
Yeah, and tying in the Ra's al Ghul stuff from the first movie, just to give it...
Well, like, Captain America 2 Winter Soldier is just the Winter Soldier story. Yeah. It does a good job of picking six issues and putting it in one film. It doesn't try to be anything more. It leaves you a little bit at the end for other stuff. But it does a good job of taking a single story and telling that one story. And not giving you too much. They've done a really good job of not giving you all this excess. Like Amazing Spider-Man 2. I hate to harp on how bad that movie was.
Feel free to harp.
X3.
Feel free to
harp. Trying to tell too many stories at once has been the problem with comic book movies from the get-go. It's been our biggest hindrance, is trying to cram as much as they can into one movie.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of got all of our attention. People who don't even read comic books, is it told one story per movie.
And plus, they're trying to, like, you have 50-plus years of stories to choose from, you can't cram 50 years in 2 hours. It's not possible.
Well, you know, and that's the other thing. Marvel definitely, Disney, you know, they think when they took over, they think long term.
Yeah. And Disney's always been a long term company.
Yeah, whereas Marvel pre-Disney, they sold out the rights. They weren't thinking long term. They were just, you know,
well, they were trying to get out of bankruptcy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Marvel was in bankruptcy when they sold all these properties off. And at the time, it saved the company. And we're all very thankful that Marvel has maintained through the years.
But it made a lot of mistakes during that.
But hey, when your back is against the wall, you'll do what you can.
Well, true, but still.
Disney has thought, you know, okay, knowing we're going to tell 10 tales, we're going to tell story, you know, plotting, we're going to tell all these stories 20 years in it, you know, for the next 20 years. You know, it's relatively easy to go, okay, well, we're going to place this one little seed here. Because we know in 4 years from now, it's going to make somebody go, aha, you know. And then also, it being able to do stuff like that, definitely, it gives it more of a season feel, you know, when watching them back to back or later on down the road.
Right.
Which gives them more longevity, you know, when selling to next generations and on DVD, Blu-ray, or whatever the hell they come
out
with.
Well, it was the same thing with P.L. Travers, you know, with the Mary Poppins books. I mean, Walt Disney was after her for like 20 years just to get the film rights, just to make a movie based on her books. And the only reason why she even did it in the first place is because she didn't have any money left. And then once she finally said yes and they made the movie, her books became even more popular than they already were.
Well, the other thing about Disney is, and give them credit where credit's due, they always know what audience they want to give something
to.
They've always gone through with knowing their demographics when pursuing any venture.
They know exactly who to feed to.
What shows pander to what audience, when to end something, what movies are pandered to who. They've never tried to give everybody everything at once, which is what, I hate to say, Fox tries to do sometimes with the X-Men is a great example.
Oh, well, you know, especially talking Disney, they know how to build fan and build fan base. Because I mean, originally they started out young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to think Disney started out purely as a cartoon company, entertaining kids and young adults, and they were able to grow on that.
Yeah.
You know. But they never stopped catching the fans when they were young. And, they've just done a wonderful job being able to provide for those fans as they get older. Mm-hmm. Even with a great job creating a artificial scarcity with a lot of their movies and properties. And knowing how not to oversaturate.
Yeah.
And plus, Walt Disney was always a big proponent of, you know, new technology of, you know, doing stuff a different way, but he was always big on keeping that, you know, grounded to the past, you know, not losing, like, who you got, you know, who you were. You know, I think that's why a lot of his movies and why Disney still to this day, you know, with Pixar, is just as popular as they ever were.
Right.
It's because they're okay with, you know, looking forward and doing new inventive things.
Well, I mean,
in regards to their properties and, you know, how they do stuff.
Something people totally forget about that I'm going to bring up, that Disney has always done a good job of having something come up with fans getting older.
Yeah.
Is Goof Troop. Goofy was something a lot of our parents loved, and Goof Troop was Goofy being an adult with a kid.
Yeah.
And so for me as a kid, I watched Goof Troop.
So did I. Yeah.
And, you know, my dad loves Goofy cartoons. Goofy cartoons were huge when he was a kid.
Pluto.
And so it was cool to watch for me and him as him watching Goofy be a dad while he was actually being a dad.
Also, DuckTales.
Now, and DuckTales,
Darkwing Duck,
Tailspin. You know, those are all based off or inspired by older properties.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and they definitely always leave them wanting more. You know, I had to Google to make sure I was right in saying Barnum from Barnum and Bailey is the one that said that. But yeah, Disney always leaves you wanting more.
Yeah.
And they're really good about that.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard that they're not doing an end credit scene in Age of Ultron.
I have heard that
they
as well.
They are doing a mid credit scene, which makes me want to...
Well, what I think they're going to do is, you saw Civil War, Captain America Winter Soldier. Remember how there was two credit scenes? There was the one after the... Yeah. There's one halfway through the credits where all the fancy credits go by, and then there's a scene. And then at the very end of the credits, there's another scene.
I didn't know about
the
second one.
They did that with Thor as well.
Yeah, they did that with Thor as well. I think they're just going to forego the one at the very end of the credits, and they're going to do the one after the fancy credits.
Yeah, because usually the mid one was always is the joke one in a way.
Yeah.
And then the final one is
the big
tie-in to the next movie.
Well, not always. Like in Thor, the final one was the thing running loose in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And Guardians, it was one where they spoiled Howard the Duck coming back, you know. And that was a genius way to launch a comic right there.
Yeah, that's the tie-in.
Like, I feel like usually, except for Thor as an exception, usually the last one is the tie-in. Like, you know, the Avengers reveal of Thanos, I would say it is in the first one that... They reveal that, and that, you know, Howard the Duck, and then immediately are like, hey, here's the comic.
Yeah.
And then, apparently, I'm going to have to watch these movies again, because I didn't know about the secondary one.
Like, Winter Soldier, they show you Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver for the first time, and then at the very end of the credits, Bucky's alive.
Yeah, and he's looking through the museum, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Winter
Soldier's still alive. That's at the very end of the credits.
Yeah.
But right after the, what I call the fancy credits, the CG credits before the black...
Yeah.
The fancy credits.
Well, everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Well, I think one of the reasons why they're going to be doing like the mid credit like things,
cuz nobody wants to stay at the end anymore.
Exactly, cuz
there's too much anticipation for it nowadays.
Expecting there to be a mid credit scene, and then when they watch it, they're like, "All right, well, that must be it. I'm going to leave." And then it turns out that there's a second one at the very end of the credits.
A lot of people have no idea
to stick around for that.
Everybody.
Well,
everybody's expecting it nowadays. It's become a trope with the comic book movies. Is there is something at the end of the credits?
I mean, hell, here's my thing.
I
do.
The reason why I like the end credit scene is because you see all those. Fancy credits, those are all people that get paid premium dollars.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And then you get the gaffers.
And then you get the gaffers.
The full credits.
I watch all the full credits.
Those are, you know, those are people like me, people like you.
Yeah.
That's some guy who made $100 to stand in the background.
Yes.
And or that's like a buddy of mine who would ran a secondary camera or an aerial rig, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, those are people that...
And for those who don't know, there's jokes in those. If you read those, like legitimately read those, they make jokes all the time. They'll make up goofy titles. They'll have nicknames.
Yeah, yeah, like, a lot of times it'll be like Bob, you know, the great 12-inch wonder, Johnson. Shit like that.
Yeah, you know? There's a lot of jokes. Like, people get to write down what they want them to say when they run the credits.
Man. Right, and they let them choose their own titles. So sometimes the grip, the best, or what would be key grip, best boy, they may be, senior advanced lighting technical gaffing tape master.
Yeah, yeah, they had the best title. I'm serious, man. And there'll be whole, like, whole sections have their own ongoing joke. It's like, I can't remember what movie it was, but everyone was a variation of Robert Johnson in their, like, nickname. It's like,
yeah,
Chris,
I think I know what
Robbie Johnson, yeah, Farley. Not, like, they just can't, and like, Robert Bobby Johnson, Robert Bobby Johnson, Will Johnson. And it's so ridiculous.
I'm awesome.
They're awesome.
I've even seen the line, does anybody actually read these?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
There's so many good ones.
Yeah, but I swear, like, I think we could pretty much all agree that one of the main reasons why that thing even became a thing was simply because of the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episodes during Halloween. Because
bullshit, Monty Python.
Monty Python, but it got to be like really huge with the Simpsons because every Treehouse of Horror episode during Halloween, they would just make up like funny stuff out of people's names.
Monty Python may have did it first, and he may even have got it, but he does have a valid point. The Simpsons did kind of make it a famous thing.
I mean,
I don't know, man. Monty Python and the Holy Grail's credits are the funniest thing I've ever read.
No, I'm just saying.
They're so funny.
And I mean, they're the first people who, like...
I'm not denying them being the first people to do it.
True.
I'm just saying the Simpsons Treehouse of Terror definitely has a lot more exposure.
Yeah, I guess, but, I mean, at this point, most people have at least cursory knowledge of Monty Python. And then also I'd say it's been done probably at the exact same time a lot of the Simpsons stuff was doing in video games credits.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying that Matt Groening is the first.
No.
In fact, the reason why the hidden credit stuff started is because the programmers weren't given credit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of them would sneak Easter eggs and stuff in.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, thanks, guys. Dicks.
If you ever get a chance to Mortal Kombat 2's credits are hilarious because apparently everybody hated Ed Boon. And it's like nothing but Ed Boon jokes.
Well, I mean,
also first Castlevania, I think it's just like bad jokes on like celebrities' names. Like I want to say like, what's? It's not even funny.
Are you talking
like,
about the first Castlevania?
Yeah,
on
when
the
they
NES?
Say like it's like Lon Chaney, but it's like something like they change it to like Bon Chaney, and it's like not even funny.
No,
but they like just made all these jokes for who played Frankenstein, and it's
good stuff.
It's all
I mean, it's the same. It's practically the same thing with writers and. Writers who make, scripts for TV shows or movies, and there's, most writers have gotten to the point where they're tired of, like, writing stuff and constantly sending it to production companies and them going, we're interested, we'll make it, and, like, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, who made Good Will Hunting, apparently when they made, like, I found this out, like, about a month or so ago, apparently when they wrote the script, they wrote in a whole scene into their script that had absolutely nothing to do with the movie, and they turned down 50 production companies before they settled with the one who produced that movie. And the only reason why they let them do it is because, they asked them, I can't remember who it was, but they asked him, do you have any questions about the script? Is there anything you want to know? And he went, what about this scene? They went, all right, you can make the movie. And the guy just kind of looked at him blankly and went, why? And he said, because out of the other 50 companies that we went to with this, you're the only one who actually read the script. Because all of them would go, we want to make it. And then, when they ask him, do you have any questions? They go, no, we liked everything about the script. So obviously they didn't read it.
Funny thing about Goodwill Hunting is it actually spawned a TV show called Project Greenlight, which is pretty interesting. One of my favorite campy horror movies was made because of that. Feast?
Oh, yeah. Feast was made because of Project Greenlight.
I didn't even realize that was a Project Greenlight.
That is a Project Greenlight.
It has one, like, my favorite scene is they're introducing all the people and they're giving like they're like freeze frame and giving them like these video game style credits.
Yeah. Yes.
And they get to Jason Mewes and yeah. under life expectancy they go already exceeded.
Yeah. Oh. Man, I haven't seen that movie in a minute.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's a great campy horror movie.
Wait, what's it about?
They get stuck in a bar and evil monsters attack them.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's it.
Was it Rollins in that? Or was he in... I feel like he is in another...
Oh, I think Rollins is in Feast.
Yeah, he is. Henry Rollins is in Feast.
You know, one movie, I can't remember the name of it. Jason Mewes was in it. He was playing this ambulance driver, I think, and his girlfriend was a vampire, I believe, and, you know, he... You know, stuff happens, but I can't remember the name of it. But I actually enjoyed it. They play it on Sci-Fi Channel like really rarely, but it's still you know a pretty decent movie. It's definitely different seeing Jason Mewes in like that kind of a role as opposed to you know Jay from the Silent Bob franchise. So
well, Jason Mewes is also extremely broke,
right? Well,
so he has to do lots of things to make money now because.
Well, during his heyday, now admittedly, he only did, you know, a handful of films with Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
And got paid. I did actually bump into him, and, you know, he was on a lot of drugs.
He's on
drugs. You know, and he's even talked about this publicly. He's clean now or whatever, yeah. But I'm sure he blew through a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, he was actually at the National Tattoo Convention, you know, how they have that horror movie festival alongside of it. He was there 1 year, and I talked to him about that about that vampire movie he did, and I told him, I was like, dude, it was actually a pretty good movie. I liked it.
See him nowadays, he looks rough.
Yeah, true. Well, he's actually going to be at Zany's here in Nashville this Wednesday or Thursday. It's one of the two, but I actually called to try and get tickets. They're sold out. They sold out like practically as soon as they went on sale.
Yeah,
like within about 4 minutes almost.
The funniest thing about Jason Mewes and his drug use was in that Evening with Kevin Smith movie. There's a part where he's like out there with Kevin Smith, you know, answering questions, and someone's like, "So I saw something on the news or like on the internet about you getting arrested for heroin possession on Saturday." They're like, "Saturday? Like that 2 days ago?" Like, really? Like, they're just like, "Saturday? I wouldn't be here if I was arrested for heroin possession."
Really?
It's like, we're just like, yeah, I mean, everyone pretty much knows, and as you said, he's talked about his drug use over the time. But yeah, like, some people need
If you've ever listened to Smodcast, Kevin Smith talks a lot about how Jason just shows up out of the blue to either bug him or ask him for something or pitch him the dumbest idea for the next Jay and Silent Bob film or go to their comic book stores in L.A. and New Jersey and try and get free stuff because his name is on the freaking sign.
Yeah, he does do that. Also, you see that in Comic Book Man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that Jason just shows up all the time because he's got no money. He's got nothing to do, and he knows Kevin is smart and has money still.
What do you mean nothing to do? The man's been known for selling and smoking weed for the better part of, what, 20 years?
He does not actually smoke weed. Well,
yeah.
Oh, come on. It is so implied.
Yeah, it's implied.
No. Jason Mewes in real life does not smoke weed.
And just like Kevin Smith did not, up until recently, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
They did hardcore drugs.
But I mean,
Kevin Smith, his hardcore drugs was donuts. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, come on. Jason Mewes' character Jay being known for that, you think honestly he couldn't get a getting a job like for like one of the companies that advertises in High Times, all he has to do is dress up as Jay. That's all he has to do.
And he doesn't.
I know,
he doesn't do anything. He's just, like, trying not to do heroin all the time, which apparently amounts to him not doing anything.
Yeah, but all he'd have to do is just dress up in that outfit.
It doesn't amount to you working for High Times. No. That's
Yeah. Yeah, if you try to avoid drugs, you don't do anything.
I know. But all I'm saying is, if he really needs money, all he's got to do is dress up, you know, like that, and he could easily get a sponsorship job for a hydroponics company somewhere.
Which is what he tries to avoid, though. That's my point.
I know he tries to avoid it, but I mean,
mainly what he does now is go around and get people to pay him for just being him.
Yeah, seriously,
pay me to write my name on. pay me to listen to me bullshit for an hour.
I mean, he does celebrity appearances now. That's basically what he does.
So basically, he's trying to act like Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D List.
He's just trying to get a buck.
Yeah.
You can't blame him.
You can't blame him, but I mean, I don't know.
Kathy Griffin, My Life.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
That was the only, like, analogy so I could give
but
to
him. The problem is, you know what that is.
Yeah. I like Kathy Griffin. She's an awesome comedian.
Okay. That's like saying shoes are funny when they're on other people's feet. They can be. Like a big guy with really tiny shoes, it's funny.
That was just a really small guy with an obscure reference.
Well, I'm sorry, man. It was the only thing I could come up with. And like I said, I like Kathy Griffin.
But Kathy Griffin
is a good comedian.
All right.
This is took a strange.
I know it took a strange turn. I'm sorry for that. All right. Can we move
good
on
day,
now?
Good
All right, Jesse. Come on.
Now, Kathy Griffin is also known for a certain target audience.
Yeah, I know.
And that makes me wonder...
Like, where is your... You know, who else do you think is funny?
Where is your
I want to know now. Answer the question.
The reason why I watch her is sometimes I wake up super early in the morning, there's nothing else to watch, and her comedy stuff is on Bravo, and it's the only thing that's playing.
You watch Bravo?
If there's nothing else on, yeah, possibly.
Wait, okay.
What cable package do you have? You have Bravo and nothing else.
Basic cable. I have basic cable, but I'm talking like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning when there's nothing else
on. You get up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning and you turn on Bravo.
No.
Bravo.
No.
That station used to be an opera station.
I think they're going to kick you out of the motorcycle club.
No, I turn on the TV and I flip through the channel finder and there's nothing on.
I go through all of them.
I'm sure news is probably coming on there.
Infomercials.
Turn on your Netflix.
Law and Order is probably on USA.
And I hate Law and Order.
And you like Bravo. Anything on Bravo.
No, I just like Kathy Griffin as a comedian.
Okay, that's awesome. So,
You know what?
I don't really care. I just love seeing how irritated this is getting.
How defensive you got is
going. Here
are the other comedians I like.
Okay, I was going to say, are we going to get back to you liking other comedians? Because I need to know.
Richard Pryor.
Okay.
Carlos Mencia.
Okay.
Eliza Schlesinger, Chris Hardwick, Kristen Schaal, Thomas Lennon, you know, a lot of...
And Kathy Griffin.
Fuck you,
That's top of the list, right? That's top of the list? Have you seen her HBO special? It doesn't exist because she's not that funny.
And yet she's had like 10 some odd specials.
Yeah, and they're all on Bravo.
Hey, at least they're getting aired. She's making money doing it. You can't fault her for that.
Well, she's apparently a D-lister.
Hey, Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers.
Wait, hold on.
She's on some of the lows.
Hold up. How is she any different from catering to her demographic that she caters to? Knowing that that's where her money lies,
and you're in that demographic.
That's my whole thing. I didn't know you were there. I didn't know we had gotten you there.
I started this.
You
guys suck. All right, I was just trying to make an analogy, and you went off on a 10-minute tangent about nothing.
Because we never expected that analogy.
Okay, here's the thing, and this is I'm going to explain to you what you did wrong.
All right, so I'm an eclectic person. Sue me.
Eclectic is not Kathy Griffin on Bravo at 5 in the morning. That's so specific. It hurts a little, Like I got a gray hair right here. From just hearing that reference.
All right, well, that's an odd analogy.
It stressed me out. It gave me, like, a knot in my stomach that you would be up at 5 in the morning on purpose to turn on Bravo
Look, when I can't sleep and there is nothing else on, I look for the, like... For,
But we're in a comic book store. You can read a comic book.
Hold on,
You can play a video game. Why Kathy Griffin?
I'll look for the least worst option.
That's it? That is the least worst.
Okay, no. If there's any truth to that, that's why I'm glad I'm not awake at 5 in the morning.
Well, no, my next issue is we've talked about Daredevil, so I know you have Netflix.
No, actually, I don't.
How did you... You know what? Let's...
One of the guys I played D&D with when I was going to the con in Nashville, he let me stay with him. He lives up in Goodlettsville. He has Netflix. We started watching it.
Okay.
That's why. That's the only reason why I've been able to watch it. I'm trying to wait till I get Netflix or something, and I'll watch the last 3 or 4 episodes, and that's it.
I mean, I'm
not, it's not that big a deal.
No, it's also an alternate. I'm just going to say 5 in the morning. Porn.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say.
You could be doing that. You could be doing that. So, not Kathy Griffith on Bravo.
So, what's your favorite Cher song?
No, I think the better question is...
I'm going to shave you with a dull knife.
How many... Do you count down...
I swear to God.
Do you count down the hours until Ellen comes on? Do you? Because I do. I actually do think Ellen DeGeneres is funny. Mm-hmm. I do watch the Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, I don't think she's funny.
I remember a sitcom from back in the day.
I don't think she's funny at all.
You think Kathy Griffith is funny, and you don't think Ellen DeGeneres is funny.
Yeah.
I quit.
And Jules has the stylings and taste of like a 50-year-old man.
I do. I really do. Jag on purpose.
Yeah. He is in the CBS demographic.
Yeah. I am that demographic. And Matlock is terrible. I've tried. Even, I can't give Matlock.
Yeah, what about Perry Mason?
All right, look, even I'll agree with you about Matlock. I used to watch that as a kid, and looking back on it now, it's like
I did Spencer and Hawk. I do like Spencer.
Murder She Wrote.
Yeah, I was about to say Murder She Wrote.
Yeah, Murder She Wrote's okay.
The Father Dowling Mysteries.
No, what was the one where the couple and they solved cases and they had a lot of money? Anyone remember? It was the 80s. I don't know. There's a lot of hair in that show.
Moonlighting?
It's not Moonlighting. It was a TV show, and it was like a couple's name. And they were a couple, and they like solved murder mysteries because they had nothing else to do in Beverly Hills, apparently. I don't know.
You remember the Max Headroom show?
Yes! Yes! I do!
Talking about fuzzy memories from the 80s. Yeah.
Looking back on a lot of things from the 80s, it's like, whatever possessed us to make this kind of crap?
Nothing else. You know what? Sometimes it's 5 in the morning and you want to watch Kathy Griffith.
Actually, you know,
I swear to God, I was kicking you in the balls.
That's what possesses them. 4 in the morning? Because there is a conspiracy going around about 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
What?
It's the most common hour that everyone wakes up.
It's the most commonly referred to time, 4 in the morning. Yeah, you know, and it's always supposed to be the worst time of day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
However, if you do want to get breakfast super early at Hardee's or McDonald's, it is the perfect time to go down there because
Kathy Griffin hasn't.
See, you sounded legitimately pissed. You're like, I've tried. I could not get down that door.
I used to manage Hardee's.
I used to work at Hardee's. I know
it's
this.
Been 2 hours cooking fucking biscuits.
But Jack in the Box is open.
But those biscuits are good.
They are. And believe it or not, nobody believes it, but they are actually made freaking scratch.
They are. I can't even count how many times I've had to wash that damn biscuit making bowl.
We digress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a really funny rhyming comedian poet. If you Google TED Talks 4 a.m. conspiracy, you will find it. It is worth listening to, you know. It's not your traditional.
It's a TED Talks. Yeah.
It is a comedic piece. It's not your traditional, like, this is some revolutionary idea type TED Talk, which I like those.
If it's TED Talks, is it like Seth MacFarlane playing Ted the Bear?
No.
There's an organization called TED Talks.
It's the last time I'm going to say this. But you watch Kathy Griffith on Bravo, and you don't know what TED Talks are?
I didn't know what T-tops were in a car until I was 18, all right? Shut up.
You didn't know what T-tops were?
Not until I was 18.
You have a Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Has okay. no one ever? Because I mean,
okay, 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 wait, 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 wait. You don't have. I'm gonna go there. You don't have one ridiculously like snobbish, eclectic friend who is so painfully obscure that he's actually relevant to everything everyone does.
What?
You don't have that one guy who totally acts like he's better than everybody else and knows.
I thought I was
Larry. The guy who doesn't like anything but loves all these weird things.
Yeah, him.
Larry. So you've never seen a TED Talk? Or like him post a TED Talk video?
No.
On your face? Man, that's tough. That is tough.
Hey, Larry.
Look, I like the stuff I like, and I deal with the stuff I like, and that's all I generally deal with, because anything more generally causes drama for me, and I don't like it.
Well, TED Talks...
I hate drama. Drama is the one major bane of my existence, and I try to avoid it at all possible costs.
TED Talks are like the best... the best guest lessons you ever got in class. Like, you had a guest speaker that day, and it was awesome. That's, like, all TED Talks are. It's just, like,
and it can
speakers.
What guest lecturer? I never had that in any school I ever went to.
Okay, anyway, so it's this organization, and it runs the gamut of things. They have, like, you know, like, one. Sometimes it'll be kind of a humorous thing about someone's just life, but it's, like, kind of brings a point. Or sometimes it'll be something about, like,
machines.
Yeah, like nanorobotics or something like that.
So people basically giving you pitches or explaining things to you. Brian Michael Bendis did a TED Talk very recently. He writes comic books. All of Ultimate
Spider-Man.
I swear
to God, I'm going to fucking stab you. Daredevil. I know who Bendis is, you asshole.
Okay. You did give him kind of
a you gave me that look like you had no idea what I was like. Brian Michael Bendis did a TED Talk. He talked about writing comic books. Like, they do, like, they get... it's like career day.
I've been doing this podcast since last December. I've heard you guys talk about Bendis since then. I know who Bendis
is. Okay. What I'm saying is TED Talks are like career day every... it's somebody talking about what they do.
Okay.
In a cool and explanative way.
You could have just said that the first time. And,
I did with
and avoided, like, 10 minutes of bullshit.
You watch Kathy Griffin.
So what?
You don't avoid 10 minutes of BS every day, so come on. You can sit through my 10 minutes if you sit through... what? How long is the show? Like 30 minutes? 40 minutes?
I can't tell you how long it has to go.
Alright, so TED is a global set of conferences ran by a private non-profit Sapling Foundation under the slogan, Ideas Worth Spreading. TED was founded in 1984 as a one-off event. The annual conference began a series in 1990.
All right.
It's cool. I like it.
There are many TED Talks worth listening. There is even TED Talks that are educational. Some are just entertaining. If you want to know...
that's a half hour.
About something, usually in the cutting edge, there's usually something that there's been done by Bill Gates,
I told him about Bendis. Bendis did one recently.
Yeah. There's one on this guy who's studying immortality that looks just like Rasputin. It's totally creepy.
Yeah, it's a little... I know exactly what you're talking about. I saw that TED Talk recently.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Because all you can think of, he's not dead yet. Rasputin is still alive.
There's this one... they sponsor a lot of projects. Like, there's... The global the civilization creation kit, which is a open source series of documents that can be downloaded, and they're trying to distribute it all throughout the world to tell you how to do everything from scratch: make bricks, build a tractor, restart civilization, farm, generate power, filter water. From the ground level of having no technology to no matter what your technological level are. So it's information that can be used in third world nations. It could be used for survivalists. It could be used for whatever. And some of it's just entertaining.
Yeah, some of it's
okay.
Fun. Yeah.
But definitely worth checking out.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah. All right. So...
Ant-Man trailer. The new Ant-Man trailer is awesome.
Have you seen it?
I've not...
Shrink fight on a Thomas the Train.
Thomas the Tank Engine train set.
It's the best thing you've ever seen ever. It looks like this intense fight on top of a train, but they shrink, so it's two guys like.
And then it zooms out
to just the engine falling over.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
All's ever. It's great.
It's worth
while. I have to take y'all's word for this one.
I'm a big Ant-Man fan, I think it looks awesome.
It looks funny. It looks cool. Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas.
Yeah, and it's going that realm of kind of like, it's going to be in the Guardians vein of, there's going to be a lot of humor in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ant-Man's kind of always had humor in his comics.
It's about a guy who shrinks. It's gonna and he talks to ants.
Yeah, and he talks to ants.
They're not gonna take it wholly seriously.
Yeah, so it's gonna be cool. It's actually it's not Hank Pym.
Yeah, it's Scott Lang, second Ant-Man, who was a thief who stole the suit and got to keep it. And even in the trailer, he's like, "Look, I used to be a thief. You know, I've kind of given that life up. What do you want me to do?"
And he's like, "I want you to break in and steal some stuff." And he goes,
Makes sense. Of course, that's what I was famous for.
I'm actually looking forward to that movie Tomorrowland.
It looks interesting.
I haven't looked into
George Clooney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I am looking forward to is watching the original cuts of Star Wars now.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about Tomorrowland, because that movie seems like it was made just to cover up another movie called Tomorrowland.
Oh, yeah. That other one? Yeah, the black and white?
There was one that was shot in black and white illegally at Disneyland.
Without their permission.
Or Disney World. Yeah. Shot without their permission, not necessarily.
Yeah,
illegally.
I still haven't watched it. I hear it's really great, though.
Well, it's really hard to find.
Yeah.
It was on Netflix
for a long time, but since Disney just signed a really lucrative contract with Netflix, it got pulled.
Awesome.
Well, that's how you get Daredevil.
Yeah, I know. I knew that would have happened.
And within the next year, Disney and Marvel promised to put every Marvel movie on Netflix for you to watch. So I think it's like shortly after Avengers, you should be able to watch them all.
But yeah, as you said, a cover-up for that makes sense. Because I was like, that name sounded familiar. I had no clue about the George Clooney one, but I was like, that rang a bell.
Well, as soon as once that started getting big and the suit was settled, they announced they were doing a Tomorrowland movie.
Yeah.
And so now if you Google Tomorrowland movie or Tomorrowland, you're going to come up to the Disney stuff.
Yeah. So it's pretty instant now. You cannot find that. Escape from Tomorrowland was the name of the independent film.
Yeah.
It's a really cool movie. It's sadly gone, pretty much. You can find it in some back alley corner of the internet.
Not that you know we promote or but you know there are things called torrents.
Torrents are totally illegal.
Yeah, but people
it's
don't.
Very illegal now. People don't give a shit. Well, no, now you really they can. The way the internet is now, you pretty much. If your internet provider finds out you've used it, they can kick you off.
Well, no. Torrents are legal.
Torrents are legal, but downloading...
But not... depending on what you share.
Yeah.
There's nothing illegal about the torrent itself.
Yeah, the torrent thing's fine, but it's the copyrighted material that
you're sharing.
Right.
Now, if it's like Night of the Living Dead, which is considered...
Public domain.
Yeah, that's fine.
Then you're fine. If you're sharing anything that's considered public domain...
But I mean,
you're all good to go. But if it's copyrighted,
who's torrenting?
The double-edged sword,
the public domain.
But actually, you know,
a lot of people.
There are several sites dedicated to
torrenting public domain.
But usually, I can find that in other places, so I don't go to the torrent first. You know, that's what I'm saying. Not saying that I torrent.
Like the original company that came up with the torrent software, their website was dedicated to public domain.
Yeah, that was
their site's still up and running, actually. Yeah. Which I hear, actually, speaking of Disney, they're in talks with buying BitTorrent. I don't know what that's going to be.
Disney's just going for it.
Hey, man. At this point in time, who can blame them? They've got more money than I think they've ever known what to do with.
Realistically, let's think about this. If I were to give you a digital copy of the movie on day one of, you know, Avengers or whatever, wouldn't you still want to go see it in the movie theater?
Yeah, I mean, never...
Because the ripped-off copy would probably be all pixelated.
Well, you'd be surprised.
But at the same time, movies like that...
Not that I've watched them.
you do want to see in the theater. There are some movies you could forego seeing in the movie theater and watch it at home.
Yeah.
But a movie like The Avengers, it'd be stupid not to go experience that with the surround sound and high-def screen.
Yeah, because speaking of, you know, waiting for it to, you know, just watch it at the house, that Chris Hemsworth movie, Rush, that was based on James Hunt and Niki Lauda from F1 back in 78.
Yeah,
I watched that last night at the house. Man, that movie was awesome. I wish I would have saw it in the theater.
That movie was great theaters.
Yeah. I wish I would have saw it in the theater, but I never did, but I'm glad I was able to watch it last night, finally.
It's a good film.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, most movies, I'm a big fan of the theater. I actually promote that more than watching it at home, and I don't like watching stuff at home, especially if it is a movie of huge...
I love to go see stuff in the theater to support the movies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That being said, you know, there's something else that occurred to me talking about funny stuff. You know, I was watching John Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, a week ago, he did an interview with Edward Snowden.
Yeah, I mean, big deal.
Yeah, that is a big deal. Like, nobody else
got
that
in that interview.
But
either.
He flew to Russia.
Yeah. To interview him, yeah.
I mean,
right across the street from the old KGB building, too.
Yeah. So, you know, that was a big deal. It's kind of crazy. Our hard-hitting news is coming from a comedian.
Yeah. Hasn't that been away for a while now?
Yeah, that's the way most people get their news.
Has,
even though it's supposed to be a satire.
What?
Al Jazeera is a good source of news.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, most of the satirists, that's the only way you can get, like, true news anymore.
He was talking about, and I was going to see if you had any opinions about that, about the whole Cuban...
It's, for those who are listening,
the Cuban
relations are
trying to be normalized.
Yes,
he didn't renew the trade embargo.
It's a big deal on many fronts. Me being a first generation Cuban here in the country, my parents being from Cuba.
Do you like to live in America?
I love to live in America. that's the Puerto Rican side of things.
Yeah, I know.
It's a double-edged sword. It's a strange feeling because it is still a Castro. You know, it's something we've wanted for a really long time, normalization, you know, open trade. But at the same time, it comes at the cost of dancing with the devil. And a lot of people don't see it that way. But for Cubans, it is very much so the person we hate the most, or one of the people we hate the most, is bringing something we've wanted for ourselves without them. And so, it's bittersweet. Some people are really excited. Some people don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. They think it'll go back to the way it was at the first place, where Cubans don't really see any of the money that's going to come through. It's just going to be the people at the top. It's, you know, you got to think about the last time Cuba was open trade like that. It wasn't good for Cubans. It was only good for the people who came through. That was the whole point of the revolution in the first place. So, you can't blame anybody for being extremely, especially Cubans, skeptical of the idea of normalization. And so, for me, as a Cuban here in America, I'm excited. The idea that I actually get to see this without getting my head chopped off. Well, excuse the paraphrasing on that one.
Well,
but it's weird.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's something I don't think any of us actually anticipated in our lifetimes. But at the same time, we don't expect everything to work out.
Well, like the one... Well, I have kind of a question about it is...
What?
All right, I know Cuba is still, like the way it looks like old 1950s Cuba, real rustic and whatnot.
We haven't had open trade with
anybody. Well, I know, but like,
the
reason why I'm asking this is because now that like the trade thing is, you know, it hasn't been re-signed. Do you think that they're gonna try and revamp Cuba to almost be like a Las Vegas of the Gulf of Mexico style island?
Well, that's what we don't want.
That's what
Cuba used to be.
Yeah,
that's the big fear for Cubans is that we're not going to see any of this money, and it's just going to be the fat Americans coming through.
Yeah,
well, and of course, a lot of what outsiders perceive from Cuba, like you say, in the 1950s when this came out, Well, okay, let's face it. The most of the cars and the popular cars in the world are made by countries we have treaties with that won't deal directly somebody that we have a trade embargo with.
Yeah.
All right. So a lot of the cars and a lot of the technology we see that's American is just maintained
very well.
If that's all you got, that's it.
It's the same thing in Germany. They ride motorcycles over there that are still made like back from the 60s and the 70s, and they still look brand spanking new practically.
The difference is in Germany it's because they want to. Yeah. Cuba, you have to.
Yeah.
You're never going to get it. There's nobody who makes cars in Cuba.
Yeah.
All the cars we have are all the cars we got.
Yeah, they export nothing.
Look at the cars they were able to get after the embargo. You stuff like the Yugo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What Soviet manufactured automobile was popular in the 80s? Any?
No.
At the height of the USSR, their creativity in automaking was not very good.
Because the only automotive
they had to make the cheapest, most utility vehicle,
most bare boned.
Yeah, which had zero safety.
Yeah,
because you know what? They only had so much budget, and they had no competitors, so they could really put whatever crap.
It was like the original Model T or Model A from Ford. There was almost nothing in it, no seat belts, no nothing. It was just like, here you go.
The cards in the 50s, they were intended to be a lifetime purchase.
Yeah.
They were made for you to work on them. Mm-hmm. They were made to be stylish, reinforced, durable. So it makes sense that cars from the 50s have lasted.
Yeah.
And especially when people have no other option.
Yeah, I mean, hell,
I know that's a very classic. Whenever I think of Cuba, I picture somebody with a classic car. Yeah.
And a lot of those cars,
any of those pictures I've seen,
a lot of those cars from Cuba that are still running around, those things look just as good as some of those high dollar cars that roll through the Barrett Jackson auto auction.
Those cars
are beautiful down there.
That's the only thing you can pass on generation to generation.
True.
Where your family only has one vehicle for everybody on the block.
And you know how to fix that thing without even having a manual.
Well, you got to think about it too. The mechanics, it's still communism, guys. The mechanics are mechanics their whole lives.
Yeah.
If your dad was a mechanic, you're a mechanic.
Yeah.
You spend your whole life learning how to fix the car.
Yeah, that's the family business.
You don't own your
home. You don't own your car.
You don't own your property,
You don't own any of that. That's owned by the government. You have to maintain this car to this level because that's what you're required to do.
Property is theft.
Well, it's almost like close to what Italy does because Ducati motorcycles. All right, the way it runs in Italy, if I remember correctly, anytime a corporation is going bankrupt, the country bails it out, but the country owns the company.
Mm-hmm.
So for like quite a while, Ducati was owned by Italy.
Right.
Until they were bought by another company.
The reason why you hear all these jokes about Italian mobsters is because there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah. Hey, and I'm not going to quote that. There is.
That's ever lived in Italy for any length of time, say it's the most corrupt government system they've ever experienced.
And in all fairness, guys, the reason Cubans are very skeptical about this whole thing is the last time we had open trade with America, for lack of a better term, you guys let the mob run us down. I mean, before Atlantic City, there was Havana.
Yeah.
And the mob ran us to the ground without giving us a dime. So the last time we had normalization, it didn't go so well. Yes, that was years and generations ago.
And plus, if you're talking about the mob from back then.
We're America. You're lucky we didn't pave you over and put a military base and just claim you.
There is a military base.
Yeah.
technically, yes.
it's like, what are you talking about? There is one.
Pave this giant bay that was once this beautiful, luscious beach.
And, that, and, now, it, and now it's...
And then they paved the mess out of it and put this military...
Yeah,
and, are you sure they didn't do that?
Yeah, like, and now already, it's, and now it's surrounded by...
I don't think that's part of Cuba.
Right, oh, that's right, because yeah. you put a flag on it and called it your own.
And now it's surrounded by landmines.
Tell it to the sovereign nation of Hawaii, okay?
Tell that to the people the hanging out in Alaska.
Win a revolution with pineapples.
Yeah, but look,
that's what we're talking about.
Now the base is surrounded by landmines on land and sea
they
mines
did that
in the
shit
sea.
To the Republic of Texas long before they did it to Cuba.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, getting back on track.
Was there a track to begin with?
A little bit, but.
Hey, you know what? Texas could still become its own thing. That clause is still there. That's why you don't mess with Texas. Right,
now, here's the thing.
And speaking of America and the American government screwing people over, don't forget to pay your taxes.
True. Very, very, very,
very
true.
Come and gone, folks.
Actually,
and haven't filed
and also,
SOL.
Well, no, today is tax day. And today is the day they have to vote to renew the Patriot Act.
Please let them not.
Yeah, they've done it every year so far.
Yeah, so I'm going to say chances are
they're going
to all signs point to yes.
Well, I mean, they're still building this multi-billion dollar storage facility out in the middle of God's nowhere.
When somebody says, you want free chocolate and renew the Patriot Act? You say yes because you want free chocolate. You just happen to be renewing the Patriot Act.
I just don't like it when politicians try and, like, hose people over by saying, here, you know, we need to vote for this, but they call it, like, the cute, you know, the Milk for Cute Babies and Kittens Act. And it's like, it has nothing to do with that.
Well, yeah, whenever there's some big controversial, there's always make it as confusing as possible.
Yeah.
Look at this legal jargon.
You like to vote yes or no on the fact that you may disagree with the possibility of
negatives.
I mean, because look here, in the last election cycle down in Sumner County, you know, you have to vote on whether or not you want addendums voted into the laws, and you know, in the you know stuff for the city. Well, they don't just ask you a straightforward question; they give you what the statute is, then you know what it'll be changed
and
to.
Sometimes and go, it's like one word different.
Yes, exactly,
and they phrase it
that one word.
You're not an idiot, are you? Yeah. No, I'm not an idiot. But, of course, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing. America loves to be tricky like that, especially the government, because it's not like what they did over in England. What they do when they were talking about the Scotland independence referendum, it was this long. Should Scotland be an independent country? Yes or no? That was it. Yeah. That's all they asked on the question.
And the Catalans tried to pull that, too. Forget them. I don't know if you guys know anything about that. Catalonia used to be its own country.
Yeah.
And then it became part of Spain, and they tried to do the same thing, but it's totally different. Scotland was, like, a cool place to be. Catalonia was, like, a bunch of a-holes.
All right. So, yeah, anyways.
All right, one other thing we'd be remiss
Barcelona's
not
there.
To...
That's all I hate them.
Not to mention is upcoming soon, Free Comic Book Day.
Yep.
Well, we're only a couple weeks away, and you know, that same weekend is Avengers Age of Ultron.
Which really seems weird that they...
You know what? I think they did it on purpose. They're like, go watch this movie, and then tomorrow go to a comic book store and buy as many of these comic books as you can find.
Well, you know, I figured they would,
they would never do it
the week after and have a big free... Here's the Agent,
well, you know what?
Age of Ultron primer or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, here's the thing. Apparently the Age of Ultron is supposed to be a totally different Avengers team. Or I guess the team's supposed to go through some serious changes in the movie. The next day, Free Comic Book Day, the big Marvel book is all new, all different Avengers. I can see where there's a little marketing. It's like, you know what's a great idea to market all new, all different Avengers? Avengers Age of Ultron.
And finally,
you like that movie? Here's a free Avengers comic book the next day.
Yeah, because that's going to get people to buy it like crazy. You know,
well, you don't have to buy it.
For the later issues. Yeah, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you like comic books? Here. Ah.
I got to say, it's the best thing for a comic book story, the idea that here's this big comic book movie the day before your biggest event of the year. For most comic book stores.
Yeah.
Every comic book is a big event.
Yeah, it is. It, you know, it's the comic book industry Black Friday.
Yeah.
You know?
And
a,
so,
but the only thing is, we don't want them spending $20 or $50 the night before.
Yeah.
But if you luck out, they're willing to chuck out more having watched that.
Yeah, because then they might, you know, they'll probably buy, say, like an...
Anything that says Ultron will get purchased.
You're going to be selling Ultron stuff like hotcakes. You're going to be selling the Age of Ultron...
The book that they just reprinted.
Well, yeah,
which, here's a question I have. Do you think comic... Well, not necessarily here, but just comic shops in general are going to do discounts for anything related to Marvel or the Avengers. That's like, that they have stock piled up on the shelves.
Yeah. Well, always tend to go on sale.
Well, I'll put it this way. You know, there isn't really necessarily a large chain of comic book stores.
We all
have our own ideas, so... I mean, to be honest, we come up with our free comic book day sales usually on the first Friday of May.
The day before.
Yeah.
And in all fairness, as far as chain comic books, there's only like maybe, I think Midtown Comic Books has like 3 locations.
Well, I know like Lone Star has 3 or 4 in Texas. Mm-hmm. There's a Flint comic out west that has a few.
Secret Stash.
We're talking about traditional comic book shops.
Because of the name, there's Larry's Comics. Yeah. There's a chain of like 5 of them.
Yeah, but we're talking about traditional comic book stores.
Biggest chains you get.
That's what I'm saying to the listeners. We're talking about traditional old school comic book shops, not like Books a Million or Barnes and Noble or places like that.
All those chains are.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I'm just saying.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, sales will vary. I'm sure Outright Geekery will be doing something here at Comic City, too.
We'll figure it out.
Probably on Friday.
The Jeopardy board is somewhere.
You know, we might have to rope some four-letter nerd people in now that they're homeless.
Their comic book shop.
Their sponsor store shut down on them.
Yeah,
it's
tough.
Yeah, okay.
It's a rough business. This is
Apparently.
But them's the breaks.
If anybody wants to know what's coming out on Free Comic Book Day, we have a list on our Facebook page of what we're getting here in the shop. We have one of the most generous offers in town.
It's the spot to go. Because I usually will always make a trick to some other comic book stores just to see what their selections were.
Mark goes out of his way to make sure he gets one of the largest selections and has the best offers. So, definitely, we'll be here. I'll be here. Come ask for an autograph. Inflate my ego.
Is inflated enough, damn it.
No, just Larry is.
That's who I'm talking about. By the way, I have a question. Did we even remember to do introductions?
We didn't do introductions.
Actually, no, we haven't done introductions
for
yet.
An hour and some change.
I wanted to do introductions, but I didn't want to interrupt the conversation.
Yeah.
All right. So I, of course, am your host, Lawrence of America. And with me today is...
Joshua.
J. Jonah Jesse.
Jules True.
And this is time for our final thoughts.
Awesome. My final thought is Constantine finally got canceled, and it's about time.
Did it get officially canceled?
This morning, NBC formally canceled Constantine.
And it's funny, because just last night, they put out a statement saying, we haven't been officially canceled.
Yes, this morning, they're like, we're canceled.
Sorry you didn't get that memo.
So, up till last night, they were still on the teeter-totter.
The NBC execs, binge-watched Daredevil. And they're like, we don't need this show anymore.
We didn't do a good job.
That's what we're going up against. This is not even on a network. We're done.
This isn't even on a network.
No, they're going to cancel Gotham anyways. We'll get rid of this too.
They're probably
Gotham came back.
Gotham did come back. Good for them.
Final thoughts, I'd say, I've only caught the first two of the Daredevils. I'm about to start binge watching the rest. Solid show. As a Daredevil fan, it's good. I hear I didn't get it, but I'm expecting terrible, terrible things to happen to Matt Murdock because you can't have
Daredevil. You know, on top. As far as binge watching, you know, I want to watch with my fiance, but it's hard to binge watch those.
Yeah, you know, in all fairness,
I can't.
My girlfriend wants it. Good night, Elaine. Elaine really wants to watch the show, and I was like, just wait till I'm done. Just wait till I can't halfway through start over again. No. I'll binge watch it, and then we'll watch it together.
See, we started watching it together.
We're watching Fringe right now. I'm like, let's finish Fringe, and then you can touch this.
Then you can touch it.
You can't. Too much at once.
I'm kind of at a loss. I don't really have
it. No hot Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, what's popping in the world?
Yeah.
Of Kathy.
She's, 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern Thursday nights?
You looked this up.
Oh, I did. Did you know Bravo has its own website?
I'm not surprised.
I mean, I would assume
I thought it was everybody had, like, people's dogs have their own website.
I just thought it was a bar on the TV Guide channel. Did you know the TV Guide channel's not a thing anymore either?
No, it still is.
I don't have cable, so I don't know.
It's a single bar. It's like the ESPN bar telling you shows and like whole TV shows.
It's Channel 71.
They have their own shows.
What are you talking about?
TV Guide. They produce like their own
TV shows. I know, and they do reruns of shows and reruns of movies, but they still have the little channel, you know, guide thing at the bottom of the screen.
So is that your final thought, the little channel guide thing?
No, that's not my final thought.
He watches that,
TV
too.
TV Guide and Bravo. I learned so Comcast. Much about
Why
you
Why do I
today?
Need that?
Wait, hold on. You have Comcast, and you still have watched the TV Guide channel? I'm impressed. I learned so much about you today. That just blew my mind.
All considering aside, I'd like to say we accept viewers and listeners of all viewing habits and all listening habits.
Y'all have been giving me shit for like 30 minutes.
That all of my opinions are my own and are no way reflective of anyone else on this podcast or our beautiful, wonderful website, OutrightGeekery.com.
But Jules does really hate Kathy Griffin.
I do really think Kathy Griffin is not worth 5 minutes of my day, but that's my own opinion, and I'm entitled to my own the same way you are.
Well, I will say I've seen some of her stand-up before, and it has made me laugh. So
thank you.
And, you know, I also laugh when I, you know, run into walls.
I laugh
that's
when
pain
you run
I
into
walls. Myself.
I laugh you when you run into walls, too.
You know, yeah, I'm just saying, I laugh when I inflict pain on myself the same way you must when
All
you
right.
watch that.
So check us out.
Right. Oh, I do have one thing.
All right.
I just wanted to say hello to my friend Izzy out in Belgium. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That was really sweet.
Hi, Izzy.
Hi, Izzy.
Bye, Izzy.
Bye, Izzy. Bye, Izzy.